May the Lord help us to commence with the first hymn on the hymn sheet. Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind. For his mercies I endure, ever faithful, ever sure. The first hymn.
Thank you. sacred and holy word of God, we shall read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, reading chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, but when he was, by faith Moses, who had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. May God bless to us that part of his sacred and holy word and teach us to pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, in whom we live and move and have our being, with whose divine permission our lives are spared, our breath is drawn, to whom we are accountable, before whom we stand even now and must stand when time shall be no more, in that solemn, awesome moment after death, the judgment. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that matters may be made right between us and thee, ere that auspicious moment arrives, that there be no controversy, no contradiction, nothing, Lord, that would mar that solemn step from time into eternity. And who can prepare us to stand before thy face, but thyself. Thou alone knowest what is required that sinners might be safe in that auspicious day. Thou hast made the provision in the person of thy dear Son of an advocate, a mediator between God and man. And thou hast provided through him a perfect obedience and a perfect atonement and grace that saves. And we pray this evening how we may be led by the Spirit into these deep, precious mysteries personally, and that we may be among that people of whom the Saviour spoke, he that honoureth the Son, honoureth the Father also. For we pray then we may this evening hour understand by thy blessed Spirit the honour due to a triune God, God the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and God the Son who so willingly came on that errand of mercy, and God the Holy Ghost who fulfills the latter part of that well-known word, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we pray, blessed Spirit, thou wilt come and fulfill thine office tonight. Quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ, or else I die. And nor thy mourning saints forget, thy sweet unction still repeat. Daily lead us unto Christ as our prophet, king and priest. So we come tonight. We come, Lord, to worship thy great name. We come to give thee thanks for temporal mercies, mercies that keep our bodies in natural life, the provision of food and clothing, homes, loved ones, so many mercies we are surrounded with, and even yet this ungrateful, ungodly nation has mercies far in excess, exceeding many other nations on this earth. Lord, what can we say? How humbled we should be, and how marvelled we are to think that thy mercy is still extended and thy long-suffering still outstretched toward our ungodly nation and the nations of this world in this dark day. But as thou hast kindly given a seed time and a harvest, we would render praise. We would not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, without praises die. Or we would echo the praises we were singing in our opening hymn, for his mercies e'er endure, ever faithful, ever sure, and while the earth remaineth, so they will. And yet, Lord, we would not be satisfied with these things, for these are not our God. We know that one day the brook of temporal mercies like Cherith must dry up. But oh, to know those mercies that will never fail, those blessings that will never decay, those truths that will sustain the soul when time shall be no more. Oh, we pray this evening hour thou wilt lead us to these things, that we may drink deeply at the water of life tonight. Find mercy for our perishing soul. Prove thee to be that prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God who hears the cry of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Lord, we pray tonight we may have this sweet and gracious privilege, and that we may prove even at this time that thou dost remember us, hath not forgotten us, wilt not forsake us, and still thou dost in mercy say that thou art able and willing to save those souls that come unto God by thy dear Son. Lord, we pray that thou would enable us to walk in these ways, that thy dear name shall have all the praise. And do bless the holy word of God we've been reading. Make it spirit and life to our souls. Give us a true token this night, we pray. That token for good which cannot be gainsaid by the devil, the world or the flesh. Give us, we pray, a sweet view of Christ. May our heart be fixed, fastened on him, the author, the finisher of our faith. We pray that bless the assembled gathering, those, Lord, who worship here as a church and congregation, Sabbath by Sabbath and week by week, and those who've turned in from other quarters, other hills of Zion, other churches where thy name is recorded. We pray for them each. We commend them to thee, Lord, and we pray they may find tonight that thou hast been mindful of them too. Especially we contemplate the coming Sabbath, that thy dear servant among us, who will stand in thy name where thou hast placed them for the coming day. Oh, may they find, and may we find too, our heart inditing a good matter. May we speak of those things we have made touching the King. May, Lord, we not handle the word of God deceitfully, but may we separate the precious from the vile, the chaff from the wheat, and be enabled to declare without flinching the whole counsel of God. And there may not be any uncertain sound in the trumpet as it sounds forth. May Jesus Christ and him crucified be our theme, and may it be our joy and privilege to declare him to sinners. And blessed Spirit, do thou mix faith in the hearts of the hearers, that it may profit one and another. So do give thy dear servants, present and absent, right preparation for the coming day. We need it, Lord. We are empty earthen vessels. Without thee we can do nothing. And oh, the people must look beyond the man to the man, Christ Jesus, if any good is to be done. Bless the praise of thy beloved name. Grant that we may sing them with the heart and with the understanding also. And may our meditation this night of thee be sweet. May we be glad in the Lord. Or may we find, like Jeremiah did, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Oh, we pray for such precious truths, Lord, to be maintained within. Oh, we pray we may find something to take away with us. Oh, do come, Lord, rend the heavens, come down. May the mountains flow down at thy presence. Cause us to hear thy voice. O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions, hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. O Lord, we are thankful we hear of thy voice being heard by others. But what is that, Lord, if we never hear it? O may it come to us. O speak to me, one said. Tell me, Lord, and make me feel it. I am thine, forever thine. Take this wounded heart and heal it, seal it with thy blood divine. And remove all hindrances, Lord, to thy work. All that love of sinning, all those hidden idols, all those things, Lord, that would take the place of Christ in our heart and life. Oh, remove them, Lord. Oh, we read, Ephraim shall surely say, what have I any more to do with idols? Teach us to say it, Lord, and to walk it out, that we may have a Jesus only and an only Jesus religion. Bless those who are in tribulation, those who are walking in disappointment, those who are living with discouragement, those who have loved ones who are a burden to them, either in providence or in grace, those who, like the widow woman of Zarephath, have come to their last handful of meal, their last drop of oil. Oh, appear for them, Lord. Lead them not to perish. Bless those who are burdened, seeking to know the way wherein they should walk, who waiting to hear a word behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, or when ye turn to the left. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then speak tonight. Move in each heart, quicken the dead, strengthen the weak, guide the perplexed, to undertake for the oppressed, let go thy captives, set the solitary in families, and to bring out those who are bound with chains. Oh, do come, Lord. We pray for the increase of Zion in our day. The only answer, Lord, to the solemnities of the day is the gospel in power and authority to change hearts and lives. Oh, do work from our royal house downward, we pray, there may be a turning to God, a raising once more of the standard of thy word and thy holy law and thy gospel in this beloved land and this world of ours. Do, we pray, Lord, turn our captivity as the streams in the south. We pray for a thankful heart for all the abundance of thy mercies, especially for the freedom of worship we yet have, the holy word of God in its infallible, inerrant form before us. We thank thee for that. And now, dear Lord, we pray as we turn to its pages, we may find our Saviour within. Or may we find, Lord, him whom our soul loveth. May his word of grace be so precious to us tonight that as John Baptist leapt in the womb of Elizabeth at the very sound of the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray tonight, Lord, it may be so with us, that our hearts may leap, they may rejoice in Jesus' name, and as we go on our way, we may truly say, as those on the road to Emmaus did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? We are not worthy of it, Lord. We are poor, guilty, sinning, sinful sinners. We can do nothing without thee. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We are totally dependent upon mercy and upon grace. But, oh, blessed Jesus, do come. Oh, we pray thou wilt rend the heavens and come down tonight, and may the mountains flow down at thy presence. And grant, Lord, a sealing, healing time. Oh, we wait long. Like the man of the pool of Bethesda who waited for the moving of the waters. Lord, come and say, wilt thou be made whole? Lord, we said he would, but he had no man to put him in the water when they were troubled. But, oh, thou didst say in a different manner altogether, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Lord, we would know thy voice if we heard it like that. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Come, thou King of kings, thou Lord of lords, this night. Speak, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We beg it and we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Our second hymn. Praise, my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. The second hymn.
seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I'll direct your thoughts this evening to the first book of the Kings, chapter 17, and we shall read the verse 24. The first book of the Kings, chapter 17, and the verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." The first book of the Kings, chapter 17, and the verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." And not only did the widow woman of Zarephath have an honourable mention by grace in the first sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in Luke's Gospel, we find her name also inferred in that chapter we read in Hebrews 11, where we read of the long catalogue and worthies of faith women received their dead to life again. Notice the plural, because there was more than one woman. The woman of Shunem was the other, recorded in the second book of the Kings also. So we are left without any doubt whatsoever that the widow woman of Zarephath was a believer. How did she become a believer? She was certainly not brought up in a believing household. She didn't have the privileges that the children of Israel had over the border of the temple and of the ceremonies of the Old Testament that were pointing Christ ward. She was no doubt brought up in a pagan, heathen environment. So we might ask, how is it that this precious thing, faith, was found in her heart? Well, friends, we know, I hope you know the answer. And if you know the answer aright, as taught by the Blessed Spirit, you will have to acknowledge that your faith, if it be real, has come from the same source. We are told now faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is God's gift. And as we even tonight join here together, especially to thank God for his temporal mercies and the great gifts of God in our harvest given and gathered in, let us not be satisfied with just that. Oh, that it might be your desire, young and old, that we too might have, as Peter calls it, like precious faith. God alone can give it. God alone can sustain it. And God alone can crown at last faith with sight. For godly Asaph said, and it was the fruit of faith in his heart, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever." Such was the faith Asaph had, and such was the faith this woman had, although it is perhaps in its very infancy in this chapter. But remember, all faith in a child of God has its infancy. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of it as a grain of mustard seed, a very tiny seed altogether. We might say easily lost, but God will never lose it. And wherever God has planted it, Peter says in 1 Peter 1, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abide it forever." And my next point in opening up our subject this evening is this. What means does God use to impart faith? He does what we hinted at this afternoon. The Holy Ghost takes the word. What word? Not man's word, God's own word. And he puts it in the heart, and there it is put there forever. What God doth, he doth forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. And that means if you are desirous this night of possessing the faith that this woman had, the faith of God's dear people, then you must be much in the Word of God, because that is the means God uses by the Blessed Spirit to quicken faith, to impart it. And if you want me to prove that from Scripture, then we have it in Romans chapter 10. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not just the Word of God in the letter of it, but the Word of God in the power of it, the spirit of it. And that's what this woman lived to prove in this chapter. Already she had been the subject of great mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. But none of them was he sent but to the widow woman of Zarephath. God, for his own wise purposes, the honour and glory of his name, the extension of his kingdom, had singled out this woman. And she could have to say when she came to the end of this experience, "Who maketh me to differ? And what have I that I did not receive?" She was a miracle of grace to herself and to others as they looked on. And so is every child of God. But already she had lived under the manifold bounty of God, as the barrel of meal had not wasted, the cruse of oil hadn't failed, and you might have thought surely this woman didn't need anything else to bring her to a living faith, to a vital faith in the God of Israel. Well, dear friends, what slow learners we are. We've no stone to throw at this dear woman. No, we are rather like Philip, who said to our Lord, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And what did the Lord say to him, Philip? "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" So many years, and some of you can say it tonight, so many years of answered prayers, so many years of God's providence, yes, and more than that, so many years when you traced out from time to time his visits in grace. "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me?" Well, this dear woman had lived on the bounty of God, literally in providence. And I wonder if she had begun to take it all for granted. The first time she went to the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, and found it still was sufficient for her next meal, it was no doubt a wonder to her. And probably the next day, and the next day as well. But then, you see, it happened every day. And when things happen every day, you and I, like this widow woman, no doubt, are perhaps ready to take them for granted. It's only when the Lord lays his sovereign hand on us and brings us up with a start that we realise just how backsliding we'd become. We let God's mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. And often, friends, we don't appreciate our mercies until God takes them from us. How many of you have been blessed with good health? Now, some of you here tonight, you are coming the other side of it. In your older age, you're finding you're not so healthy in your body, not so strong. Did you appreciate your health while you had it? Friend, have you ever walked down Swavesey High Street and thank God for the strength to do it? And bless his name, you can still do it without pain. Or there may come a day when you will not be able to do it with the same freedom. And it'd be sad to look back on those years when you had your strength and never gave God the glory for it. Well, this woman here then had many mercies, with the barrel of meal that wasted not, the cruse of oil that failed not. But now, her faith was going to be put into the melting pot. And we may look at it with four ways tonight. When I was sent out to preach, a brother minister, an older minister, said to me that sometimes it helps your hearers if you hang your sermon on pegs. He said, it may be a very poor sermon, but at least they can remember that what you wanted to say, though you may have been poor in saying it. Well, in following that line of advice this evening, I have four pegs to hang my sermon upon. And it perhaps help you younger ones remember what I'm going to try and say with God's help this evening. These four things came to me in meditation. And the first thing is the treasure of the faith this woman had. The second thing will be the trial of it, because it was put to the test. The third thing will be its triumph, because blessed be God, a great fruit came from it. And the fourth thing you sung of in your hymn just now. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. And it's a sad thing to have to say, but many forget that last point. The tribute of faith. Where does the honour belong? Where does the crown belong? Oh, how often we let that matter slip. We forget Psalm 50 verse 15. So what about Psalm 50 verse 15? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. And you stop dead there. But God doesn't. And thou shalt glorify me. There's the tribute. Now, dear friends, how is it with you tonight? Is the tribute lacking? The tribute lacking? We'll come back to that in a moment, that the Lord may be pleased so to enable us. So we have then this woman's faith. And good John Bunyan never spoke a truer word, did he not, when he said in that pithy way, Bunyan's pilgrim found, no sooner was one trouble o'er, another did him seize. No sooner had this woman's starving condition been dealt with in the miracle of the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, suddenly another trouble overtakes her. Friends, you must expect it. It's no use you saying, I'll just get round this next corner and it'll be easier. If it is, it'll be only for a moment or two. You can be sure, as long as you're on the earth, if you're in the way of faith, the Lord Jesus said he cannot lie. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But we won't leave the word there, because the Lord Jesus didn't leave the word there. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, child of God, whatever tribulation you're in tonight, there's an overcomer. It's a precious Jesus. And he overcomes in his people and for his people. The outcome is not in doubt whatsoever. Though you tonight may be staggering to and fro like a drunken man, nor at your wit's end. God is not at a loss. God is not perplexed. He himself knew what he would do. Now we come to this woman's faith then. First of all, the treasure of it. And the word of God tells us, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And wherever God puts the precious gift of faith, that is its fruit, the fear of the Lord. You say, show me a believing man. I say, yes, I'll show you a believing man, a God-fearing man. That was the mark that Elijah had. A man of God. How many men of God are there here tonight? How many women of God? How many children of God here tonight? I wonder. There are as many children of God here tonight, men of God and women of God, who are God-fearing. That's how many. It's not for me to count them. I'd be sure to make a mistake. I'd miss out one that God had put in, and perhaps put in one that God had left out. And the great point, do I fear the Lord? That's the great question. And you should be asking yourself that question this evening hour, because it is the mark of the faith of which I'm speaking. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. It's the greatest treasure God could ever give you. A God-fearing heart is the fruit of faith. Pray for it, friend. Pray for it. It's one of the surest evidences of the way home to glory. That he that is blessed with this, yes, he has everlasting joy before him when the trials of life are done. And we are told again about this treasure, that it is in earthen vessels. It was with this woman. When the treasure began to evidence itself, she felt herself to be a great sinner. We'll come to that in a moment. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the strange thing is, those who fear God here this evening are not those who are strutting around this world saying how righteous I am, how godly I am, how humble I am, how upright I am, but they are the ones who mourn the very lack of it. They know their deceitful heart. That they know the wretchedness of their old nature. They mourn every day because it's what they would not it was. They join with Paul in Romans 7. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the language of a God-fearing man. You say, it's very negative. No, it's not. Because Paul didn't leave it there. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And the God-fearing man knows where the victory must come from. He knows where he's be looking for his base lust to be overcome, for his heart to be broken, for him to live in God's fear. He needs the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. The good hymn writer takes up so beautifully, does he not, when he said, this was the way I longed sought, but mourn because I found it not. My grief and sorrow long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Lo, glad I come, and thou blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love from thee I get. And the tribute follows. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Oh, what a rich treasure then faith is. And this woman had it, but it was hidden. It was hidden. It needed something to bring it to light. You read in Isaiah 45, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. And the faith of God's elect often is hidden. At first it's hidden. Others can't see it till it begins to move in the heart and then in the life. But even for a believer, perhaps he's been many a day in the way, many a year in the way. Sometimes things come and they seem to cover it all over. It's hidden underneath trials and difficulties and problems and perplexities, disappointments and discouragements. Oh, you say, could faith ever live under the load? Yes, it lives and labours under load. Though damped, it never dies. Why? Because the power is in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where it is, child of God. And this woman's faith was hidden. Deep, deep down, God had given it her, but it needed to be brought to light. And how did God do it? Why, friends, he sent a trial. And that's often the way God uses to bring to light his faith in the hearts of his dear people. Now, trial in and of itself won't do that. There's trouble everywhere. If you walk down Swavesey High Street and knocked at each door, if you stopped long enough and people were honest enough, they would tell you what troubles they've got. Some are in bereavement, some are in affliction, some have got business troubles, some have got difficulties in their family. So you go on down the street. Troubles everywhere. Man's born to it as the sparks fly upward. But dear friend, there are very few where the trouble is sanctified. Because that's the great point. That's the great point. I remember when I was a lad living in Southill, there was a woman there who had lost several children. Very sad. And we all felt very sorry for her. But the poor woman was bitter and hardened every time it happened. And she grew harder and harder and harder. It wasn't sanctified. Not any stones to throw. How many times have you come into trouble and you've resented it? And you've rebelled again and kicked against it. You said, why am I to walk this path? Others have it so easy. Oh, how wretched heart, how it rises up. But I tell you this, dear friend, if God sanctify your trouble, like the bitter waters of Marah, they become sweet. And you even bless God for it. And in the end, this woman blessed God for the trouble that came. The trial of your faith. Peter says, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honour at his appearing. Oh, faith must be tried. Why must it be tried? For two reasons. One is to bring it to light. And secondly, to strengthen it. You know, I have found it to be so. Sometimes I travel across the Salisbury Plain when I'm going down to preach at Bournemouth, for example. And you see the soldiers there exercising. And it's very necessary. Their skills would never become strong if they didn't exercise. If they just sat behind their desk listening to a commander or a major talking about fighting and just writing notes, that would never make them soldiers, would it? They've got to use the skills. They've got to get on the battlefield. And that's how they become soldiers. Child of God, it's not just by picking up the Bible and reading it with your natural mind, or picking John Gill down from your study library, or Matthew Henry. Good though those men are, that's not the way you'll learn. That's not the way your faith will come to light. Trials will make you see what you never saw before. Trial will make you pray as you never prayed before. Trial will make you confess you never confessed before. Trial will empty you that you may be filled. Trial will lay you low that you may be raised up. Trial will make you sick of self, you may be fond of him. Sanctified trial, I tell you, is the way God strengthens the faith of his dear people. I'm not a metallurgist, but I understand some metals are strengthened by being heated. Well, certainly God's faith in his dear people's heart is strengthened by putting the fires. It is indeed. All the dross and the tin that we lose when the fire begins to burn. But oh, blessed be God when we come out stronger for our trouble. Not stronger in self, but stronger in him. So this woman had a trial. He who gave her son, remember, the fruit of the womb is his reward. Remember that. Man think of it so lightly in the day in which we live. But that is true. But now you see we come to it. He who gave took. And in a sovereign right so to do. Yes. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a sovereign right to take as well as give? To give you good health, yes, and take it. To give you a good job and take it. Do you believe that? Do you believe also has a right to give you perhaps a sweet frame in your soul and then withhold the comfort too? Do you believe that? Tis the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. That's your body, your soul, your family, your business, your church, your tomorrow. an undisputed right. Are you disputing it? Are you saying deep, deep down, we'll not have this man to reign over us? This is not the God we want. Well, dear friend, I tell you, the narrow way that leads to the life eternal is this very path. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, to be exalted in due time. Yes, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And God often works by proxy, if I may use that word reverently. He did not lay a sickness on the woman, but he did on her son. And this one whom she had born in her womb and reared, why, now she finds him sick. And the sickness grows so sore that the soul of the little lad leaves the body and he's dead. That's what death is, the separation of body and soul. Something we've all got to face, perhaps sooner than you think. The separation of your body from your soul. Oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Do you ever pray like that? You young ones, older ones too. Ever pray about your soul? Ever take the prayer of the psalmist, leave not my soul destitute? Well, may you be concerned about your soul. Many of you are concerned about your body. Yes. And you see some taking lots of pains over their body and dressing up very finely and taking a long time to make sure they look, they think well to others. How much time they give to their soul. Oh, dear friends, these things come close, don't they? Well, this little boy's soul was taken from him, and there he was, dead, without life. And what effect did this have on this woman? It brought her into conviction of sin. And that is a grace that is joined to faith. You must look for it. You must expect it even. Because faith being the work of the Holy Ghost, and if it dwells in the heart, your heart and my heart, it's bound to show up what is around it in the fallen nature that you possess. And it won't tell a lie about it. It won't say sin is not sin. It won't say these things do not matter. It'll search out the nooks and the crannies of your innermost being. And sins perhaps you long forgot about, the Holy Ghost brings to your remembrance. And sins others know nothing about, but you know God knows about it. He knows your heart inside out. You have to confess. This woman didn't say what the sin was that was brought to remembrance. There's no point us speculating. We don't need to speculate. She knew what it was. And I'll tell you, dear friend, if ever you're convinced of sin, you won't need anyone else to tell you what sin it was. God's arrows, they are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby people fall under him. And your favoured soul, you've ever fell under those arrows, I tell you. And they never miss their mark. Never, ever. You ever been in the house of God and, yes, God has shot an arrow, perhaps through the ministry of one of his servants? Oh, you thought the man was picking you out, but he wasn't. He almost certainly didn't know what your sin was. Or what you've been passing through, what was going through your mind. But God knew it. God knew it. And he does know it. That's what conviction of sin. Seeing it as God sees it. Not as men see it, as God sees it. And this woman, just like Peter when our Lord filled his boat with fishes. He said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy thy notice, Lord. And this woman fell. O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, to slay my son? She fell, completely confronted by this solemn realization of her sin. Now God had brought it all to light in her conscience, now awakened by the Holy Ghost. But Oh, the convinced soul here tonight, where are you to flee? The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, fear not. The hymn writer puts it in poetic language, depart from thee, 'tis death, 'tis more. Endless ruin, deep despair. Oh, sinners, not to depart from God with your conviction, but now it is to flee to him. That was the difference with the woman taken in adultery, you know. We read of those men who stood around, who brought her there, being convicted in their own conscience. They went out, one by one. The woman was convinced in her conscience, but she remained. Their conviction was only natural. It didn't lead them to Christ. Her conviction was of the Holy Ghost. It kept her at the feet of Jesus, and she heard his sentence. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, blessed tidings to that poor, lonely, solitary case. Well, this woman's faith then was greatly tried. Why? Why should this come? Lord, why? Why should this come into my house? It was so peaceful before this man, the prophet, came. True, I was facing death. At least my son was still alive at that point. But now, we've got this deep trouble come. Oh, blind unbelief is sure to err. And scan God's work in vain. God is his own interpreter. He will make it plain. Those who are in the trial of your faith tonight, tried by what you are within because of the trouble that has come, tried by the trouble itself, tried by God not yet revealing what he is about in the trouble, tried because the devil is suggesting all sorts of conclusions that you know are wrong and your poor heart falls in with them, tried because unbelief will not credit the word of God, tried because you're such a lonely case and no one seems to understand it. Why, friend, the Lord knows. He knoweth the way that I take, said Job. But when he hath tried me, notice that, he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, then we have the trial of her faith. But now we have the triumph of faith. And here we have it in two things. First of all, she had to give, as it were, her son into the hands of Elijah. And, in a sense, here she was, putting into the hands of Elijah's God. For after all, he was but God's servant, God's instrument. Have you ever been able to put your case in God's hand like that? Give me thy son. Give me that heavy burden you've got. Give me that insupportable difficulty. Give me that thorn in the flesh. Whatever it may be tonight, this is the same, a truth. The Lord Jesus said to the father who had that son who kept falling into the fire and was so mad no one could do anything with him. He said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Give me thy son. Oh, friends, we cleave and clasp our troubles to our bosom if we're the only ones who can manage them. So we've got all the wisdom and the strength and the understanding, yet we haven't. No, but he has. And as the hymn writer put it, few if any come to Jesus till reduced. And you think about that word reduced, because that's what the trial does. It reduces you. It reduces you. What to? Self-despair. And when a man is self-despairing, then he's ready to give the Lord the case to manage. He can't manage it himself. Oh, I say tonight, take your unmanageable case to him who can manage it. Oh, have it in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Put it in the Lord's hands. He knows what he will do with it. He knows what to do with it. Give me thy son, he said. Elijah takes this son, and he carries him to the loft where he abode, laid upon his own bed, and oh, the dear man prays. What a man of prayer Elijah was. Yet the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He prayed there should not be rain nor dew, and there was no rain or dew for 3 years, 6 months. He prays again later on while his servant goes up and down Mount Carmel 7 times, and eventually the rain comes in answer to prayer. But here he's praying that the Lord will restore the soul into the body of this son. What a prayer. Only God could do that. Elijah couldn't do it. And sometimes, dear friends, your case is just like this dead child, isn't it? It's so far gone, it seems impossible. The devil said, there's no point praying about it anymore. There's no point even bringing it to God anymore. Well, the devil's a liar. Or what did Hannah say? He killeth. Note that. He killeth. And he maketh alive. And when the Lord has blasted every natural hope you've got, and taken away every human arm to lean on, and brought to that point where nothing but a sheer miracle would put it right, then you'll prove, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 1, who delivered us from so great a death. Note that. Who hath delivered, who doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. He said, God that raiseth the dead. And he can raise your dead hopes tonight, child of God. He can raise your dead circumstances in his own dear hand and make them live. You know, it won't be long before all the leaves are gone on the trees around us and they'll appear dead. Be a very foolish man to enter his garden and cut all the trees down, thinking that's the end of it. Friend, you wait for the spring. And so it is, the Lord is saying to one here tonight, against like Job's tree, cut down, yes. The root perishing up yet through the scent of water can revive again, and it will revive again in God's time. But he is the power of Christ's resurrection. And he can do to your trouble what he did with Lazarus, he brought him out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. So here we have the triumph of faith. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again and he revived. Oh, the triumph of faith here. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done, it shall be done. I do like what Elizabeth said to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so there will be. Whatever the Lord has told you, it'll come to pass. Yes. And she took the child, brought it out of the chamber, delivered it unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son livid. I find that expression so attractive. How many a godly parent has rejoiced to see their son live in this, beginning to pray, begin to read God's word, begin to hear the truth a different way. See thy son livid. Wonderful joy. John himself said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. The joy of a pastor as well. To see one who was so dead as the seat they were sitting on, week after week, month after month, year after year. And then something happens. Perhaps some trouble comes, like we've been hinting at. And God sanctifies it. See thy son live. You see the difference. You can see that hearing difference. You can see it. Their very demeanor shows it. See thy son live. Oh, you dear ministers of God here tonight, you dear pastors, oh, may God often give you that privilege. See thy son liveth. Oh, we have to wait long for it sometimes. But I read this morning in family worship in James, the husbandman that laboureth hath long patience. Yes, we need long patience in these things. See thy son liveth. But now we come to the tribute of this woman. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Now, you remember, in the New Testament we have the case of the 10 lepers, who our Lord saw to go, show thyself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. And just one, turned round and fell at his feet and gave thanks. The tribute of faith. And the Lord Jesus ascribed it to the faith that he had been given by grace. He said, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. The Lord confirmed his faith, confirmed it, as he put the crown where it belonged. It was a very remarkable thing this week, as you know, those 33 miners being rescued from Chile. I understand there was just one man out of the 33, when he got to the surface in that remarkable way, he knelt down in front of everyone and he thanked God publicly. Just one. Well, dear friends, oh, what reason this woman had to thank God. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Notice just a few things about then this last verse as we come to it. First of all, this now. God's time. A time is set to heal up your woes, a season most fit his love to disclose. But till he is ready to show forth his will, be patient, be steady, wait on him still. All those in the trial of your faith, you'll come to this now in God's time. You will. You'll come to it. You'll come where we have it in Isaiah 40, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear thou not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Friend, blessed now to come to that, now. The godly purity to talk about coming to a point. Some people never seem to come to a point in their religion. It's general all the way. You can't get them to talk about something personal, something specific. Oh, may God bring you and I to points. Now, now, I know by this I know. Not I think. I know. I know. We read in Hebrews 11, those who were persuaded of the promise, they knew. And I like how Paul puts it. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And notice this, he didn't say, I know what I believe. He did know what he believed. But I know whom I have believed. Yes, dear friend, that's real religion. Many people can talk about what they believe, and spend a lot of time about it as well. But all that is vain unless you know him whom to know is life eternal. Do you know him who is the truth? Have you heard his voice? Felt his presence? Enjoyed his love? Can you say with the hymn writer that Christ is God? I can avouch, and for his people cares, since I have prayed to him as such, and he's heard my prayers. I know for a certainty. Can you say with the men of Samaria in John chapter 4, when they said to the woman of Samaria, now we believe, not because of thy word only, but we've heard him ourselves, and we know this is the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Personal religion, so vital. This woman had it. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. There's a lot behind this, you know, because I'm sure that in the preceding months that Elijah had lived, he hadn't been silent. I'm sure he'd spoken about the God of Israel and the truth. But it seemed, dear friends, it needed this sharp trial to open her heart to receive the truth in the way of our text. And that's how it may be, you see, with you. Yes, our poor hearts are so hard. We're such slow learners. And sometimes it needs a sudden stroke to bring us to the point. Now I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. How does she know it? Because what Elijah had said was God's word had come to pass. Had come to pass. That's the mark of a true prophet. And I say it humbly and tremblingly, because have we got the mark? Have we got the mark? For if what we say in the pulpit is not fulfilled in the pew, then there's something sadly wrong with our ministry. But if there are those who can say, and we don't say it to boost ourselves in any way, but this is what every God-sent minister desires to be the recipient of, Thou art a man of God, the word that on thy mouth is truth. Otherwise the man shouldn't be in the pulpit, should he? If this isn't the case, we've no authority to be there, if this isn't the case. So it's a great exercise to us. Are we a man of God? Is the word of the Lord in our mouth truth? And how will we know it? When we see its effects. I think, and I'll come to the close in a moment, I think of those words in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul had a wonderful testimony that he was one who was like Elijah, a man of God. Listen to this. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. You know what manner of men you were among us for your sake, and you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, there's the trial, with joy of the Holy Ghost. And it went on later on, how that ye turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, child of God, this is the fruit of the word of God in the heart. It changes the heart, it renews the will, and turns the feet to Zion's hill. So we have the tribute then here of faith. It puts the crown where it belongs. Oh, it is not slow to do it when faith is healthy. Oh, it will not put it anywhere else but where God would have it. Oh, on his own dear head. That's why Zerubbabel had such a trial over the building, you know, of the temple. That's why the foundation lay unfinished for so long, that his faith might be tried. So when at last the headstone was put on, and it was, he didn't cry, well done, Zerubbabel. He didn't come round and pat him on the back and say, what a wonderful builder you are, Zerubbabel. No. Grace. Grace unto him. That's why some of us who stand in pulpits have to wait so long sometimes for fruit, that we may be well persuaded, just as Joseph was. Oh, says Pharaoh to Joseph, I know you can, I hear you can interpret dreams. It's not in me, but God. That's the answer. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And when the minister and the hearers come to that point, it's all in him and nowhere else, then we're near our deliverance. And the woman said to Elijah, now, by this I know thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And my last thought is this, how mysterious it must have been to Elijah to leave Cherith to go to Zarephath. Whatever, Lord, am I going to go there for? Just as Philip must have felt when he left the fruitful ministry he was exercising. Go to the desert. Go down into desert. What a place to send one of his servants. But Philip arose and went. And what took place? There was the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. Go join thyself to this chariot. And oh, what took place? Eyes were opened. Heart broken. Christ revealed. A sinner saved. And he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was seen no more. The Spirit catches him away. And he continues his ministry where God would have him preach. But see where the honour goes. Not unto us. Not unto us. But to thy name give glory. For thy mercy. And for thy truth's sake. Amen.
The collections today are for the Gadsby Memorial Christmas Fund. Let us close with hymn 408. Oh, what shall I do, my Saviour to praise, so faithful and true, so plenteous in grace, so strong to deliver, so good to redeem the weakest believer that hangs upon him. Hymn 408.
To cover with thy mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thy pure, holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day, take us on our way in peace, in safety, be with us on the coming Sabbath, wherever we are appointed to worship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the Holy Spirit's favour and communion, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.